good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, any cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
I am awake. You're listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Ho-Chunk Raja, Wakunja Hade, Hinga Dena. I just said my name's Distant Thunder, and I'm here with my sidekick, Wendy. What's your name?
My name is Hannah Jihihani.
Good, good. You passed the test. Hey, we are a magazine show, a Native magazine show that discusses Native issues and events. And as we all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 Hotline. Call them at 651-304-9986. They're open Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. for all your COVID-19 questions.
Hey, you know, one of the great things about this show is that we have Ogama, and she leads us off with the news. And without any further ado, why don't we go to Ogama with the news?
Hi, Anim Bujou, everybody. This is Ogama Ginuikwe. As always, I want to bring you some Stopline 3 updates. So today, two Indigenous water protectors ascended trees to Stopline 3 construction. This was out of Lake Washburn, Minnesota. Two Indigenous water protectors blockaded an Enbridge Line 3 worksite in tree sits directly anchored to the pipeline, while two others crawled into a pipeline segment. This sit follows 14 other lockdowns at another Line 3 worksite last week, including one which was an Indigenous matriarch. Enbridge, oh, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you great.
Sorry about that.
Oh, no, that's okay. I just wanted to make sure I wasn't on mute. You know how that goes. Just a reminder that Enbridge has begun drilling rivers across northern Minnesota, including the Willow River, where it appears as of yesterday, construction of the Line 3 pipeline had hit an aquifer while drilling yesterday. Drilling mud was documented spreading into the river, and a spill kit was sitting ashore. Like, literally, Enbridge had a barrel on the shore labeled spill kit. In addition to that, police repression has dramatically escalated in the recent weeks. Hubbard County sheriffs blockaded Namewag camp and continue to randomly issue citations since the initial riot line. The police formed a riot line against private property in Camp Namewag. One vehicle was cited while attempting water delivery to the private property encampment. As of right now, over 500 people have been arrested to date fighting Line 3 destruction in Anishinaabe territory, northern Minnesota. One of the water protectors who is in the tree, their name is J.D. White Earth, J.D., and they're from White Earth, Anishinaabe. They said at this point, it should be obvious why anyone would take action against the fossil fuel industry. The ocean is on fire. Heat waves are killing people by the hundreds. We are in the middle of an extreme drought. Our wild rice beds, lakes, and rivers are drying up. While they dig up Mother Earth for Line 3, the bodies of our relatives are being dug up from the grounds of boarding schools. They are people who were taken from us as children and who never got to have children of their own to live their lives. I am thinking of generations of relatives that are not here with us, and I think that that was something I really wanted to share today. So thank you for those wonderful words, JD. Make sure that you follow stopline3.org, stopline3 hashtag, GNU Collective, Honor the Earth, Rise Coalition, all of those places on all your social media to stay up to date. Another thing that happened in the Stopline 3 today, 200 celebrities, Democratic donors, and environmental activists sent a letter to President Joe Biden asking him again to cancel the oil pipeline expansion Line 3 in Minnesota. The letter basically urges the Biden administration to follow through on the campaign promises to address climate change and, of course, to respect Indigenous and tribal rights. by ending the Enbridge Line 3 pipeline. Many who signed the letter worked on or contributed to Biden's campaign, including Leonardo DiCaprio, Orlando Bloom, Katy Perry, Joaquin Phoenix, Danny Glover, Jane Fonda, Amy Schumer, Bon Iver, and Mark Ruffalo, among many others. They did have a brief press conference about that today. Mark Ruffalo, Winona LaDuke, Tara Houska did have a brief press conference about this letter today. And one of the questions that I brought up, too, is that there's this huge difference in how the Biden administration is handling. You know, they shut down Keystone XL and have ordered a federal review of the Line 5 pipeline in Michigan. But here in Minnesota, there's nothing. They can't get this to a federal level. So there's a huge disparity here between those two things. And more, I guess, light news, I guess you could call it, excuse me, just one moment here.
Well, hey, Wendy, why...
Sounds like a cough or a sneeze or something. I was going through it, too, but... excuse me, see that? My voice is still a little bit...
I know there's the sneeze button in most radio stations where you push down the button when you're sneezing, but we don't have one of those. Mm-mm. Are you back?
No, we're not that in our home studios. We don't.
We're not that fancy.
Okay, Ogma, back to you. You got...
So in lighter news, before I go back to some not so light news, in Costa Rica, they received some artifacts back. So they received a unfinished tombstone, a large ceramic vase that was painted with beeswax, and human representations and ancient tools. They received them back from the Brooklyn Museum in New York City, and it returned these pieces, some which are older than 2,000 years, to the country. Archaeologists in Costa Rica said that they've been in awe since the artifacts have arrived, and they're really, really grateful that these have been returned. It's believed that the part of the tomb that was returned was the tomb of an important person from a now extinct civilization. And it really warms my heart that some of these museums do choose to do the right thing from time to time and return artifacts that were looted from indigenous populations all over the world.
We could do a story on that, or a whole show on that, Ogma, because I know, as being an older person, antique stores were filled with our relatives' scalps and things like that over the years, and they're somewhere now. They're not been given back to the tribes yet, so keep a lookout.
Oh, that makes me want to shudder. So another thing that brings me great sadness, in addition to hearing about that, is that last summer... We all know Darnella Frazier recorded the last moments of George Floyd's life in the video. And that video has recently received special recognition from Pulitzer Prizes. However, Darnella Frazier said in a Facebook post that her uncle, Lanil Lamont Frazier, was killed early on Tuesday after his vehicle was struck by a squad police car that was pursuing another driver that was linked to several robberies. According to Minneapolis police, the squad car and two other vehicles collided at about 12:30 a.m. Tuesday morning after the suspect fled from a traffic stop. The driver of one of the other vehicles, which I would guess then was Darnella's uncle, Lanil, was taken to North Memorial and later died. The officer that was involved in the crash was treated at the hospital. So the officer was pursuing a driver who was in a vehicle linked to a carjacking and robberies at a number of businesses. Lanil Frazier was not involved in the high-speed chase other than that he was a casualty. In her post, Darnella Frazier questioned why police were in a high-speed chase through a residential neighborhood and let the public know that the Minneapolis police have cost her family a big loss and that today has been a day full of heartbreak and sadness, and another man is dead at the hands of Minneapolis police. It's absolutely heartbreaking, and I can't seem to make any sense of why a police officer would do that. And this is in from CBC News in Canada. I know we've all been talking about the heat wave. Marine biologists in Vancouver think that last week's record-breaking heat wave in British Columbia have killed more than a billion seashore animals living along the Salish Sea coastline. which extends down into Washington. So
absolutely. And I'm sure we'll talk about that soon when we get all the stats in, right, Wendy?
Mm-hmm. It's really, really sad.
One thing, too, I just want to mention about officer chases. There's laws against that now, and also there's technology with those darts that you can shoot and hit the car and have a GPS follow them. So we need to be careful, and we need to protect our friends and relatives. We'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
This is Native Roots Radio.
We have vital information we would like to share with you. The Department of Indian Works St. Paul partnered with the Minnesota Department of Health to open the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline. They provide information on testing sites, isolation space, vaccines, housing assistance, and food resources. If you or someone you know has questions about COVID-19 or has questions to determine if you should get tested, please call them at 651-304-9986. Again, the number is 651-304-9986. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline is open for calls Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m.
Call the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline at 651-304-9986. That's 651-304-9986.
If the statistics say that 1 in 3 Native women and 1 in 6 Native men have experienced sexual assault in their lifetime, it means our whole community is affected by sexual violence. 1 is too many. Don't stand by. Stand up. Don't engage in acts of sexual violence and shut down the dirty jokes, the gossip, the victim blaming and shaming. As a community, we can change the way we respond. Contact the Minnesota Indian Women Sexual Assault Coalition to attend a workshop to learn more.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women Sexual Assault Coalition.
Over the past year and more, we've all missed out on a lot. Family time, graduations, weddings. And missing those events, we've missed out on even more. Friendships, connections, community, belonging. That's a long time to miss things this important. So don't miss on getting the COVID-19 vaccine. Vaccines are now available throughout Hennepin County to anyone over the age of 16. Just visit TakeCareHennepin.org and sign up to get yours. That's TakeCareHennepin.org.
Bijou, I am Oshawashko Gijig. I'm from Red Lake Nation, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Hey, 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 that was beautiful.
I love that.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, well, that's Ogama's daughter ready to take her job.
That's it.
That's
She's
awesome.
Here.
Yeah, hey, so you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Hey, we're excited. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've been faked out before, but we're excited this time. We have Nathan Wright, who's with the organization, he's a water protector, and with the organization Mackinac. I can't talk today, Wendy.
That's Mackinac Day.
Mackinac Day. Yes, thank you, whoever yelled that. And it's the heart of the turtle, and we're really excited to have you back on here. Do I look embarrassed? I should be embarrassed, right?
You're never embarrassed.
I know, but welcome. Welcome, and you have some stories that are going to be legendary here, so we want to record these. Welcome, Nathan. Here, I got you muted. There you go. There you go. You're on now.
Okay, good, good, good. Okay, so I appreciate you having me back here. And the last time I was here, I was talking about how we need to dig in more as water protectors to overcome obstacles. And as you know, there's many obstacles, especially in line 3, which my heart is with all of you there and all the things that you're dealing with. I watch those videos and my heart just breaks. It's just a really bad situation. But we also have to, you know, back here in Michigan, keep people, especially our the governor and the president and all that, we have to remind them of both issues. So we had the opportunity to have that happen here in Michigan when the President Biden went on his tour to promote, you know, the economy coming back because of COVID and all that. So we got wind of this last Wednesday, it was just a last minute thing, but no one knew where he was going to be at. It was all secretive. No one knew the time or anything. So me and, you know, the Mackinac O'Day, the group, the delegation, I call them, consisting of elders and spiritual leaders, as well as protectors themselves, we put together with a couple of our allies a real quick last minute thing to get people over there. And we tried to actually even get more people over there. We had another larger grassroots group downstate that we were having communication issues with, and they ended up going to Lansing, and they held up signs when he came in. He came in on Saturday morning and went to the Cherry Festival in Traverse City, Michigan, and he drove a little bit through there, went back to the airport, then flew over by helicopter to another airport nearby north of Traverse City, near a town called Central Lake. So we staged ourselves 3 miles from where we believed he was going to be at, and we found out in the maybe around 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock after we did a ceremony that he was going to actually be there. So we didn't exactly know where we were going to put ourselves at. We thought we were going to stage outside of the King's Orchard, which is the name of the place he stayed at. We thought we were just going to hold up signs and do that, or maybe go to the airport and hold up signs. But then something just kept telling me, no, go back there, go back there. So I followed. You got to follow that intuition that you have. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you're being guided and you don't even know it. And so we went back there, and there was Secret Service where checking people in, you know, doing the whole like you're going through an airport, just going to a cherry field. and so they did that. We got in. I started thinking, like, you know, we might actually get an opportunity. Wasn't sure if he was going to speak, or, you know, no one was telling us anything. But then they had a rope put out. And I'd say there's probably about 300 of us there. Mm. And the delegation of Anishinaabeg, we had a couple elders there with us. We had a couple protectors. But I think the total was about 12, including some of our allies. And we brought in signs, everything. I mean, we were very respectful. We were following our traditional teachings. We were engaging everybody around us. I mean, in some ways, people were looking at us like we were the entertainment, because I was doing live feeds and I had 50 people behind us, like, tuning in. They'd get real quiet whenever I spoke, like, you know, they wanted to hear what I had to say. So we really represented our people really good, which is what we wanted to do in this scenario, because we need our frontline protectors, but we also need our people to talk to the politicians and see what they can do. And some people might feel that's a waste of time to do, but, you know, we don't know that. It might be the mm-hmm. one thing that we say that touches their heart, that changes their mind. So that's mm-hmm. that's the positive vibes that we were sending out while we were there. So he eventually, after, and to add more Anishinaabe to this, there was an eagle that flew over. I couldn't make this up. There was an eagle that flew over right when he started coming out. A gigantic eagle flew over. Mm. And, you know, we had all this good energy going. We just did a ceremony. Tom Peters from Traverse City, and, you know, he did this beautiful pipe ceremony, and then Beatrice Jackson also did her water ceremony, and then here's this eagle flying over. So he starts coming up, shaking hands. Camera crew is in one area, you know, and then something happens where they're all shifted down, and we almost got the impression he was going to leave, like they were going to cut it short, so we kind of shifted down. And each time, we engaged him about five different times we told him to shut down line five. Through, you know, just shaking hands and just talking to him and say, we'd like you to shut down line five. We spoke to the Michigan governor, the same thing. She's already on board with that. Mm-hmm. We spoke to two of our senators, Senator Gary Peterson and also Debbie Stabenow. She's on board with that. We might do a meeting with Debbie Stabenow in Washington, D.C., and also talk to some other people there. So the amazing thing that happened is after I met him the first time, we're you know, he just basically said,
you meaning the president?
Yes. Yes. The president
of the United States.
Yeah. President of the United States. So he made a comment to me like, remember Indian nations. And the way I talked to everybody, I just said, right on, brother, you know, right on. And I got some people teasing me about that. Like, you know, that's not the way you're supposed to talk to a president. I'm like, that's the way I talk to people in general. Right on, brother. So they're right teasing on. Me every time they see me. They're like, right on, brother. You know, but he was really cool. You know, I know, you know, we don't agree with all of our leaders on things that they do and stuff like that, or at least on the federal level. You know, I know all that stuff, but we wanted to represent our people and remind them to shut down line three and five. Yeah. Which I think we did do successfully. So later on, we had we actually, he came up again a second time because a lot of people started thinning out. So if you went up the hill, you could meet him again. So wow. This time I boldly asked him, I said, hey, do you mind getting a picture of us and a couple of indigenous people? And he just like, oh, sure. And then right away, his whole, the Secret Service, he had about 10 people behind him. They're all nervous and, you know, they're all doing stuff. They got those little, those little things coming out of their neck, the little swirly
earpieces,
things.
Earpieces,
yeah. Old phone cords. They were like freaking out. And then some lady yells out, oh, my God, because she and a bunch of Indian people were surrounding the president, you know. And, it was just surreal. And then I'm afraid to touch him because, you know, we're people of color. You know, if we touch the president, you know, we might get shot. You know what I mean? We don't know. And so I'm sitting there asking the Secret Service, can I put my arm around him? And they're not saying anything. And I keep saying it, can I put my arm around him? And then Joe Biden, the president, says, yeah, you can put your arm around me. So I just put my arm around him. I kind of, you know, pull him in. We just get this great shot together. And then this is the funny part that happens. Totally unplanned, totally unscripted. Somebody says, you know, and why are we here? And then we say, shut down line 5. And then they said, they tried it a second time. We all do it simultaneously. Shut down line 5. Now, there's a video of that on Mackinac O'Day. I want you guys to look at it closely. And you tell me if the second time the president didn't say it the same time we did. It looks like he's mouthing the words with us, shut down line 5. So can't prove it. It just looks that way. But anyways, you know, we shook hands with him afterwards. It was all in good spirits. He didn't frown when he heard that. You know, the only things that we heard from him regarding that was he was going to look into it, which, you know, might have been just a political answer. But, you know, he listened to us. He wasn't scoffing us off or anything like that. The people that own King's Orchards are supportive of Line 5 and just about, you know, being against Line 5, sorry. Mm-hmm. And just about every person there who was a Biden supporter was against Line 5 as well. So we had much love, much support. And we had a really good experience, and we sent a message to the president, our Michigan governor, as well as two senators that we want Line 5 shut down. So I think overall it was positive, and then we have a lot of things that are coming out of it now, especially the publicity that we're receiving from it, and also the opportunities to meet, you know, either go to Washington or even go to the Michigan governor's house to set up one-on-one meetings so we can discuss our reasons as indigenous people why we're against that. And it might take that one voice, that one person that might change the mind of some of these leaders. You know, some of these people they're people like we are. And sometimes when you get touched by someone with something they say, you know, you might change your opinion. So
wow, really, Nathan, that's
it was great.
It's a great story. And of course, people that know me and my wife here, especially, is like, I'm really butthurt because I wish I was with you. I'm the king of selfies and, power to you. Next time we're together, I'll be following you around.
No, really, power to you. You have your governor's support and two senators. How wonderful is that you have their support?
It's really wonderful, really awesome. And just, we actually felt at home there. They were really nice to us. And like I said, I was a little worried about some of the signs that we brought in. Like I was telling people, I don't know, you might want to get a feel. I don't want anyone to get kicked out. So, but we were holding up signs and everything. We weren't chanting or anything like that just because we didn't feel that was the place to do it. But we were inserting shut down line 5 wherever we could in a very respectful manner. You know, it's important sometimes when we do actions to chant out the shut down line 5. But this one had to be a little bit more, we had to be a little bit more diplomatic. But our message was strong. And you could watch that video on our website. If you go to www.mackinacoday.com. You see the name of my spelling, that's the same name of the site.com. There's a big article about what had happened, and then there's a minute-long video that we shot that kind of shows that experience. But we're trying to get the word out about Line 5 and Line 3 for the United States president to tell him to shut down Line 5 and to tell everybody to shut down Line 5, and we believe we accomplished that mission.
Right on, Nathan. Hey, Peeny Geeky, thanks for coming back. We'll be right back with Bob Lake from Red Lake.
Stay with us. Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Over the past year and more, we've all missed out on a lot. Family time, graduations, weddings. And missing those events, we've missed out on even more. Friendships, connections, community, belonging. That's a long time to miss things this important. So don't miss on getting the COVID-19 vaccine. Vaccines are now available throughout Hennepin County to anyone over the age of 16. Just visit TakeCareHennepin.org and sign up to get yours. That's TakeCareHennepin.org.
Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to J. Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a five-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jselbys.com.
Well, you sold me one. Let's go order at J. Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry.
Life is a journey, and the Doherty Family College will help you get where you want to go. Located downtown Minneapolis, this affordable two-year college provides free textbooks, a laptop, meals, career coaches, one-on-one mentorship, and a Metro Transit pass, making DFC the perfect pathway to a bachelor's degree. Turn your dreams into reality. Connect with a counselor today at dfc.stthomas.edu.
We have vital information we would like to share with you. The Department of Indian Work St. Paul partnered with the Minnesota Department of Health to open the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline. They provide information on testing sites, isolation space, vaccines, housing assistance, and food resources. If you or someone you know has questions about COVID-19 or has questions to determine if you should get tested, please call them at 651-304-9986. Again, the number is 651-304-9986. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline is open for calls Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m.
Call the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline at 651-304-9986. That's 651-304-9986.
Wake up with your favorite sexy liberal, me, Stephanie Miller, every weekday morning from 8 to 11 right here on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
If you're hurting in your relationship or have been affected by sexual violence, you're not alone. Strong Hearts Native Helpline can help you through these difficult and uncertain times. Strong Hearts Helpline is a free 24/7 confidential domestic dating and sexual violence helpline for Native Americans. Help is available by calling 1-844-762-8483 or by clicking on the chat now icon on strongheartshelpline.org. This message is sponsored by the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for partly cloudy skies overnight with a low around 55, Thursday sunny with a high near 76, and Friday a chance for rain with a high around 77. And when you're out and about this summer, check out one of our great Eat Local Minnesota restaurants. You feature delicious food and drink options. Some of our Eat Local Minnesota restaurants include Hazel's Northeast, Victor's 1959 Cafe, Nightingale, The Great Wall Restaurant, Crooner's Supper Club, and Cafe Latte. More at eatlocalminnesota.com.
Welcome Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakan Jahade.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Minnesota Indian Women Sexual Assault Coalition.
Mackinac O'Day.
Awesome.
Boy,
and you know what, Robert? I want to give kudos out to the Minneapolis City Council.
Yes.
They unanimously passed a resolution opposing Enbridge Line 3.
And we were talking a little bit during the break about, wouldn't that have been wonderful if we had our governor and senators behind the president going against Line 3, as Michigan had for Line 5?
I have a quick quote here by one of the city council members. I just want to read it. We are listening to the indigenous community in their demand to stop this pipeline, a project which violates the sovereignty of tribal nations and puts Minneapolis's clean drinking water source at risk. Minneapolis City Council member Alondro Cano. And it was 13-0 unanimously. All of them agree.
Oh, that's awesome. Hey, I just want to say today's Wednesday and it's the Solar News with Solar Bear, and that means Robert Blake from Red Lake. Welcome, Robert.
Hey, Robert. How's it going?
Going good. Going good.
You know, that's one of the things that, you know, when I was campaigning in St. Paul, you know, I was talking about was doing the rights of the rights, human nature rights for Mississippi, because we are a headwater state. We are the capital city. And I really would like the city of St. Paul to also make that same statement. The city council of the city of St. Paul needs to also make that same statement that the city of the city council of Minneapolis did for Line 3. And if they're not going to do it, then I'm going to ask the Climate Justice Advisory Board that I'm on in the city of St. Paul to make that statement.
Oh, demanded from the city council. Mm-hmm. I know they were the last ones to stand behind Standing Rock 4 years ago.
I'm going to send an email to our city council member, Chris Tolbert.
Yep, right after this show.
Yeah.
Well, welcome, Robert, and big powwow up in Red Lake this weekend. I saw a lot of pictures, and I did not make it, but I wish I did. It looked pretty fabulous.
Yeah, the media company, Now This News, I think they're called, they're coming up to do an interview with me, and they were disappointed that they weren't up there for the powwow this week. They're going to be up there in a couple of weeks, but they were really wanting to have been up there to see all the powwow and take footage and everything. So, but we'll get them some footage that they can use for their newsreel.
We'll get Lewis to put his regalia on and go up there, right, Lewis?
I'll undercover. I'll be the undercover Indian. That's what it is.
Hey, Robert. So, you know, a really cool story here. That, you know, you've heard me talk about this in the past, but it's called the Congress is calling it the SAVE Act. And what the SAVE Act does, Robert, is it takes into account the appraisal process of a home's energy efficiency projects. So solar, any other type of energy efficiency that you can think of, right? It adds to the value of your home. And that's exactly what is currently happening right now in Congress, and it's moving through Congress right now. So this is really, really exciting because this is going to up the value of a person's home when they put solar and other energy efficiency products into their home.
Yeah.
You see what I mean?
We did that with our gas fireplace and also – I heard rumors that we might be getting solar panels this fall. So, Solar Bear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, if you put energy efficient windows in, and you know, you get your doors and everything all insulated nice, and you have your hot water heater that's low energy.
We had a second floor put on our house, and our bills went down because it was so well insulated up there.
Yeah, we had that isonine or something, that spray foam stuff put up.
Yeah. And so that's what's really, you know, this is going to add to people's values. And not only that, people are going to want to do this now because, you know, it's not like what happened during the, like, economic crisis, right? Where all those guys were just like trading money and they were like, you know, it was all fake, right? This way people get something for, you know, them like doing something, right? Like they actually get to see the solar panels. They get to see the energy efficiency projects there. I'm totally like, this is a great idea. I've been waiting for the 5-6 years. And so I'm happening.
You're breaking up a little, Robert. Maybe jump back on and off real quick, and Wendy and I will tell a quick joke, or maybe
that binging, that boing boing sound sounds like the internet. That's what usually it is. But
Lewis has a quick Indian joke. I don't know.
I'm not sure. I don't know my Indian jokes, but I think Bob Blake's talking about is really important, you know, and I think about the Thunder Valley Community Development in Porcupine, South Dakota. They're building a 35-acre development for housing for our elderly, for, you know, single mothers, etc. And I think it's so important when we talk about solar energy and exactly what Bob's talking about to understand like energy dependence. And energy independence among indigenous people is so important when we think about the rules that a lot of us have to go through in order to get electricity and power grids on a lot of these developmental spaces. And I think that's awesome. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that, Bob.
Oh, yeah. I mean, are you talking about on the tribal lands?
Yeah. Nick Tillson's working with that Thunder Valley Community Development for that 35 acres in South Dakota for energy and solar, doing solar panels and all that stuff. And having, you know, he said in the news that it takes so much to talk to, you know, regulatory officials, state officials on how to, you know, put energy grids on there. And you have to read all this stuff and how to do it. But would you consider, you know, something like solar energy being less bureaucratic when we're trying to get energy independence?
Oh man, they don't want us to get it. They hate tribal nations doing this because they make a lot of money off of us. I mean, in Red Lake, you know, they probably charge us like, you know, $40 million a year for our electricity, you know. So my whole thing is, imagine if we can cut that in half, right, and put that money back into our communities. This is going to be a big issue, everyone. Trust me. And that's what I was talking to the news reporters today about. So they're super excited about this interview too that we're going to be doing, because this is an equity issue. This is racism. I mean, this is a lot of things that is coming out now, and so that's why this is so important for tribal nations to exercise their sovereignty and move towards energy independence.
Yeah, it's really easy to be a racist right now. I don't know if you heard about that one lady that was owned the bar that was shut down and her license was taken away during COVID. And she was saying, well, you know, it was my way to protest all the Native American bars and everything that were open on the reservations. And it's just like, what in the heck is she talking about? And does she not know what a sovereign nation is? It's just ridiculous. They're coming out of the woodwork, Bob.
Yep, absolutely. Let me just do one more story here, Robert. And the space station up above us, right, got brand new solar panels, brand new efficient solar panels. So that's super exciting. And the astronauts now have brand new solar panels up there. So they just put them up last week.
So were they being replaced because of they were new, or they are better technology, or are they getting sun bleached?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's better technology, and they're just adding to the solar that they already have up there. But that's the beauty of solar, right? We can just add to it. We don't have to take away from it. We can just add to it, and that's the beauty. And that's why I love solar so much. You can just add to solar. You don't have to take away from it. And that's exactly what the space station just did. But they added more efficient solar panels. Since 2010, Robert, solar panels have come down 90% in cost. Wow. Since 2010 to now. And they're more efficient, better technology, And it's just they're going to eventually be the cheapest source of energy we're going to have ever.
What's amazing is I always think about this, especially when it's 99 degrees and the humidity's 1,000, is that when it was really cold, that's when they really work well too, or they work better during the cold, those solar panels. That kind of blew my mind.
Yeah. And the reason for that, Robert, is because heat, right? Heat, you know, with anything, with any technology, is a disruptor to the technology, right? Your car engine gets heat, you know, heats, overheats, whatever. It's the same thing with solar panels, the same thing. But that's a good point. Yeah. And I always tell people that that's why you see in Arizona and in Las Vegas, the inverters always burn out over there. Like after 7, 8, 9, 10 years, they burn out really quick because of all the heat. So it's just machinery. That's all it is.
Well, I am so glad and happy that you're there for our nation and for people all over Turtle Island. You were there for me this week. We had a talk with a nation that is close to my heart, and the information that you bring and the knowledge that you bring. We need you, Solar Bear, Robert Blake, and we really, really appreciate you being on and checking in with all this positive energy and positive news on the future.
Yeah, and let's go, St. Paul. Let's oppose Line 3. I hope St. Paul does that.
That's great, Wendy. Wendy will be right on it. Thank you, Robert Blake from Red Lake. Really always a pleasure to see you and have you on the show. It's just been awesome, Wen.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, this is a radio show. Say something. Hey, we'll be right back after this short break.
I just want to say every time we walk through our neighborhood, we see houses that have solar panels, and it seems like there's more and more, so it's awesome.
Yeah, and we're getting them, right? Okay. We'll be right back after this short break with our sacred animal section.
Stay with us.
COVID-19 vaccines are safe, effective, free, and approved for everyone over the age of 12. Getting vaccinated is the most powerful tool to keep ourselves and loved ones healthy and to end this pandemic. Get your vaccine and get back to what matters most to you. To learn more about scheduling a free appointment, visit ramseycounty.us/COVID vaccine. Again, that website to schedule your free COVID-19 vaccine is ramseycounty.us/COVID vaccine.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Hey, Cudahy, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm here to ask you for your support. Finding honest, Native-centered news is not easy. But with your support, we're able to provide accurate information about Standing Rock, Line 3, treaty violations, and COVID-19 in our Native communities. Please visit Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon and donate if you can. That's Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon. Pinigigi, and thank you for your support.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
How?
Okay, I didn't see Lewis. That was good. Hey, Mackinac
O'Day.
Good job.
Thank you. I'm practicing.
That's the third time there, Robert.
They're not.
Three in a row, right?
They were a hard
time. There you go.
Thank you. Hey, I don't want to end with these thoughts. I would like to end.
Robert's got a whole bunch of papers here. He's got to grab the right one.
All things are our relatives, and what we do to everything we do to ourselves, Black Hawk. I want to introduce Wendy. Wendy's been an animal advocate for many years. I can't talk today. And she's humane. Is a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and she works on animal issues in the local and national, local and state level? Okay, local and state level.
Awesome.
Welcome. Tell us your
name. Thanks, Robert. My name is Hanaji Hihani, and that means cares for them, and I was given that name by my Dega Curtis, which is Mashke Hanajinga, which means walks on white clouds. That's his name, yes. So thank you, as always, Curtis, for my name, Hanaji Hihani. Speaking of wolves and howling for wolves, howling for wolves, and the Humane Society of the United States put up some posts today. We have some really good news.
Yes.
Really, really good news. The Minnesota Department of Natural Resources on Wednesday, which is today, said there will be no wolf hunting and trapping season in Minnesota in 2021 as the agency continues to develop a new long-term wolf management plan. Agency biologists say they won't authorize a hunt until after a new wolf management plan is in place, which they said today likely won't happen until early 2022, but no later than March. Quote, "This morning we reiterated to the committee that there would be no decision on a wolf season prior to the completion of the wolf plan update," Dan Stark, the DNR's large carnivore specialist, told the News Tribune. "We anticipate the completion of the wolf plan process in early 2022. Minnesota could hold a wolf hunting and trapping season this year because the animal has been taken off the federal endangered species list as of January, with management now in the hands of the state and tribal resource agencies."
Tribal resource agencies.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah, so they're hopefully going to help us. Current state law says the DNR may hold a wolf hunt when federal protections are removed. Legislations to force the DNR to hold a wolf hunt and another bill to prevent them from holding a wolf hunt both failed to pass the 2021 Minnesota legislature, leaving the decision up to the agency. Many farmers and deer hunters have pushed for a wolf season, saying the big carnivores' canines are killing livestock, threatening pets and people, depleting deer numbers, and need to be culled. But wolf supporters say the animals should remain protected. Colette Atkins, carnivore conservation director of the Center of Biological Diversity and a member of the state's Wolf Plan Advisory Committee, said the DNR is making the right decision. Quote, "Minnesota wildlife managers have widely prioritized first updating the management plan to reflect new science and the values of all Minnesotans," she said. "That's a welcome contrast to what happened just next door in Wisconsin, which rushed to hold a winter hunt and decimated their wolf population earlier this year."
In two days.
Yeah, we already know and we already talked about that. Ugh. And it's really pretty bad. Also, I want to just say this too, that there's a wolf movie and I'm really excited about this. And Howling for Wolves put this up. Watch, the Global Indigenous Council has released Family, a short film highlighting the deep cultural connection Indigenous nations share with wolves and the major threats currently facing imperiled wolf population in the lower 48 states. Family calls on Interior Secretary Deb Haaland to meet with tribes and relist the wolf under the Endangered Species Act. For centuries, tribes successfully managed wolves and protected them as family. The world is facing a mass extinction and biodiversity crisis, and wolves need us. Right now, we must stand with tribes and protect wolves. And I put this up on our Facebook. Go to the Facebook page. I'm getting like all tongue twisted here. Again, you could take action and sign this sort of petition to protect wolves.
Yes, perfect.
Yeah. But I wanted to kind of go to Lewis at this time yesterday. We talked to him about horses, and he was able to give us a little bit of a Native American perspective on horses. And I was wondering if he could do the same today on wolves.
You know, thinking about our wolf populations and, you know, the opportunity for these, you know, people to kill them, it's so reminiscent of how they viewed indigenous people for a long time. You know, Shugmani Tutanka is the Lakota word for wolf, and Manitu means basically of the wild or not domesticated, right? So when we think about the wolf in Lakota culture, it's often with a lot of thought process of, you know, we hear this term, Mitako Yasin, where we're all related. And there's so much more that goes into that. But when it comes to our wolves, we are related to them. And you think about just the sanctity and how sacred indigenous people viewed wolves all the way up from the Inuit. And the Inuit up there, the Kiwatan, have a quote that says, "The caribou feeds the wolf, but the wolf keeps the caribou strong." And if you look all the way down south, our Pawnee nations actually have a wolf on the actual flag itself. And it lets you know just the sanctity that we view the wolf and how they are family oriented. And there's so much misconceptions about, especially with colonizers, how they look at the wolf population. And, you know, there's such a divide between how indigenous people look at the wolf and how we looked at the wolf. And it's you could see it in the way we call our clans, Anishinaabe. Right. People have different clans with wolves, etc.
Our lieutenant governor is, I always like to bring this up, is part of, is in the wolf clan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's a good point about the flag. And I know Ho'ak, Ho-Chunk, we have a wolf clan too in our clans, mm-hmm. our clan system.
Yeah, this little film, I watched it. It's called Family Again, and you could click on it on our Facebook page. And it kind of shows, and the film says, you know, the Native American people watched the wolves, and they watched their integrity, and they watched their family unit, and they watched how they cared for their young, and they watched how they hunted for their family. And then the indigenous people took on those traits because they were so awed by the wolf. And the wolf lived side by side with them every day and became part of their family and their everyday life, and, you know, just a part of their being. So check it out. It's called Family, and go on our Facebook page, and you could sign the petition to help our wolves and not have a wolf hunt this, you know, season here in Minnesota. We're going to have to keep fighting for the wolves.
Yeah, definitely.
We cannot stop fighting for them. We're just going to have to keep fighting for them.
Great input and
thank
knowledge.
Thank you, Lewis.
Yeah, definitely. Well, you know, this is a great show again, right, Wendy? And Lewis Pinigigi, Ogama, thank you so much for all you do, putting together the news each day. It's a big deal. And
thanks
learned a
for
lot.
Your daughter saying the little bumper. I love that. We'll play that more often.
That was the highlight of the show.
She did a great job. I hope she was listening.
Yeah. Well, she can hear the replay.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's how we get our numbers up there is the replay. She can click on her iPhone. She's got an iPhone, right? No, she doesn't. Hey, I would like to end with these thoughts. If you're listening to this show, you are part of the resistance. From Chief Plenticoops, the ground on which we stand on is sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office. You've been listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. Thanks to Nathan Wright, Bob Blake, and of course, Wendy Pilot. We are the seventh generation. We're still here.
Free Leonard Peltier. Stop Line 3.